If you are a teacher, parent, administrator, student, and/or anyone who loves reconnecting children with nature, and you want to figure out how to cultivate learning gardens and nature-based curriculum, then this is the podcast, the Outdoor Classrooms Podcast. My name is Victoria Hackett. I am the founder of OutdoorClassrooms.com and the Secret Gardens Nature Classes. I love witnessing the magic that happens when children are playfully learning outdoors. Observing the return of wonder and curiosity when children are interacting with nature is pure magic. This is the podcast that is going to help you capture children's interest and give you not only inspiration, but some real life strategies that are going to help you figure out how to use the outdoor space, your outdoor space, as a teaching tool so you can enlighten the playful learning experience for young children. Welcome to our Outdoor Classrooms community. We have a very special Outdoor Classrooms tour and talk today. Marielle is the founder of Ocean State Kids, a nonprofit empowering parents to become their child's most influential teacher. A former branding and marketing professional, she discovered her passion for nature-based education while navigating the challenges of public schools and alternative learning for her son, Otto, who is Gestalt Language Processor. Through Ocean State Kids, she has built a thriving community of families in Rhode Island supporting children's growth through outdoor learning programs that emphasize parent involvement, curiosity, and connection. Marielle is also a Circle member and is currently completing the Outdoor Classrooms Teacher Certification Program. Without further ado, Marielle. Hello, everybody. We have Marielle Leske here from Ocean State Kids in Rhode Island. She is doing some amazing work. But before we get into all of it, I want to let our listeners know that this is an Outdoor Classrooms tour and talk. And what that means is that our Circle membership gets access to this incredible video tour. And you are not going to want to miss this one because Marielle has done an amazing, amazing job putting all the photos together, and we're going to be going on this journey with her. Welcome, Marielle.
Thank you so much for having me and letting me show this stuff. I'm very excited.
Oh, I'm so happy that you're here. So, so happy. And you are also a member in our Circle community, and you're also going through the Outdoor Classrooms Teacher Certification Program. So we'll get into that a little bit later. But before we dive into your program and everything that you're doing in Rhode Island, can you tell us about kind of your backstory?
Okay. How much time do we have? Because I really need to focus on what's most important. It's like so much information. Okay. I think to start, I'm from Rhode Island, born and raised, and I grew up on a horse farm. I grew up around animals. My parents were very open-minded, very free. They let us kind of grow up in this space with limited rules because there were so many of us. You know, I grew up with a lot of siblings. And now as a mother, I can understand that could be quite challenging. So having just letting us run free was probably the easiest thing to do. We grew up on a farm called Stonegate Farm in Portsmouth. And really, it was our responsibility to take care of our own animals, keep our stalls clean. And it was a really beautiful childhood. I don't have any bad or negative feelings about any of it. It was quite magical. And something that's relevant to the Ocean State Kids story is that we were all competitive horseback riders in our, I think, between the ages of 10 and 14. And my mother took us out of school because I think she was kind of tired of asking for permission to take us to competitions or to take us to any type of lessons or instruction. So she just pulled us out. And that's where we were homeschooled. And I remember that being a little bit awkward at first, but over time, it gave us so much freedom to do the things that we really loved. Mm. And when I became a mother, And let me preface, it was not planned. I really didn't have any, motherhood was not in my vision board at all. I was working in marketing and real estate and construction, primarily on the marketing side. And I was a total workaholic. I loved owning my own business. I loved the independence of that. And when I got pregnant, it was a surprise in the ways where I'm like, well, what's happening? Like, this was not in my plan. So when Otto was born, I remember I went right back to work immediately, as soon as I could, because work at the time gave me so much self-worth and value. It was the only thing I knew. And this woman at work was like, so where are you going to send Otto to daycare? And I'm like, what's daycare? That's how naive I was. That's how much I did not understand about motherhood or what you do with your children or what the norms were. So I start looking around the area and there was like 2-year waiting lists for daycare. And I still didn't quite understand that either, because I was like, what's so important about this? Why is there a 2-year waiting list? So I come home, I'm complaining to my husband about it. And he's like, Mara, we're not sending our son to a daycare. You're going to just, you know, work less and we're going to homeschool him. And I'm like, why didn't I think of that? Because that's how I was raised. That's right. Felt quite normal to me. And I don't know why I didn't think of that immediately.
The pictures that we're looking at, are these, you say this is where it all started.
Yes, this is a great transition. Thanks for helping me with that. So I remember being at a playground with Otto. And I was like, at the time, doing a lot of research on homeschooling, where to get started, how to do the thing. And the most important part was community, finding your people to, you know, find opportunities for your family to connect and find other homeschoolers and like really live the culture. So I started an Instagram account, Ocean State Kid. Didn't even think about it. Same thing with Otto's name. I didn't even think about it. So it's gonna be on. And it was a very kind of loose description. It just said outdoor learning, homeschool fun, something like that. And
is that what we're looking at here?
Yes. Yeah, so I had to start organizing my first kind of community gathering to bring, you know, shake the homeschoolers out of the trees, you know, homeschool culture. I think a lot of people don't have a lot of resources or outlets to find each other. So this first experience I hosted at this place called Island Art Spot. The owner was Jennifer. She's in the picture at the top left, because I wanted to keep it a safe place because it was January. And I didn't want to scare anybody by going outside immediately. So we started at Island Art Spot. And I would be happy with 3 people, 3 families to show up. And there was 15.
There's tons of kids.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that. This was your first.
This was the very, very, very first kids, like, organized group. And it couldn't have happened at a better place, because Jennifer's like teaching style at this art studio was do what you want. Have fun. I'll set up an activity and just let the kids do their thing. And that, to me, that resonated. I'm like, perfect. No rules. Let's keep going.
So now, just for those who cannot see the images and the pictures, now it's almost like we're going on this journey, because this is your program's not just one program. Can you describe that in terms of the structure of Ocean State Kids? Is that you don't have your own space. So you are going into many, many, many different community spaces and running your program. Am I describing that right?
Yes. So what had happened was, when we launched in January, by the spring, we had a waiting list. Like, what is happening? Like, because there was only so much bandwidth that I could mentally handle, because surprisingly, I am quite introverted and socializing is quite difficult for me too. And when I started this community focused idea, I'm like, this is gonna be for my son, but also for me too. You know, it's quite hard for me to build or connect with a lot of people at the same time. So I set a capacity. So this waiting list started to happen and more people wanted to participate in this group. So I realized I needed help. Also, something very difficult for me to do is ask for help. It's my worst quality. I'm better at it now because, you know, my hair started falling out in stress. And I was trying to recruit this woman named Marlon, who I worked with at the real estate office, to start our own group because she was homeschooling. I'm like, Marlon, you got to start your own group. It's fantastic. And I was trying to recruit her, I guess. I didn't know it at the time. And she eventually volunteered, said yes. And then throughout the course of the year, we had about 7 other families volunteer their time, which gave Ocean State Kids an opportunity to open up the door for this style of learning in different communities.
In different communities.
Yeah. So at one point, we've had about 7 groups running at a time in different areas of the state. And I eventually started to build the system and the structure on the back end to make it easy for the group leaders to organize communication, materials, and sort of streamline things.
And again, the images that you are, or that our members are seeing in this tour and talk are unbelievable. And I love how each slide is showcasing a different place, So you had to go and reach out to your community to get access, to collaborate, to connect. Is that how that all worked? We're now looking at the Norman Bird Sanctuary.
So what had happened is I was doing an incredible amount of work to facilitate my own group, which was Little Tweets at the time. I'm so well seasoned and groomed in organization, saving files, and I just was able to really create a system that everybody else could use. So these group leaders were like, how do I reach out to someone? I was like, I have a template email for you. Or how do I order materials? I'm like, here's a list of things I bought in the past. It started to become quite streamlined, where I became a support system to parents that wanted this in their own community a little bit closer to home. Mm. And that is where I started to see much of my value in all of this, is kind of creating that system for this lifestyle to grow because I was so passionate about it. And the Norman Bird Sanctuary is a place that I visited when I was a child. This space is quite sacred to us because of that connection, but also because it has all the infrastructure that I see to be meaningful and helpful for not only children, but for the parents to connect as a family, because it has everything that we need between the learning classrooms, the trails, the safety, and just the beauty of where we live. And it's quite limited. And they have been very supportive of our mission. Mm. And we're moving into our third year holding what I call a residency there. We spend 4 to 6 months of the year at the bird sanctuary.
Wow.
Because it gives us everything that we need. And every time we go and visit, it feels like a new day. There's always something going on there. And there's always the seasons there offer nonstop opportunity for exploring.
The pictures are absolutely gorgeous. Now, you're not renting space from them. Is that it's more like a residency. Can you describe, probably all these spaces are?
Each location has a different relationship or partnership or agreement. The Norrin Bird Sanctuary specifically, we do rent the space from them because they are also a nonprofit. They do need to have some type of, value exchange. And I respect that. So each year is a little different. That's why I've shown a few different spaces. The first year, we just used the orchard, which was great. However, it was difficult with the children because of the age group at the time. It was so close to the parking lot. So then the following year, they moved us to the studio classroom, which was fantastic. I could live there. I had 2 bathrooms. The beautiful French doors opened up to the backyard. Mm-hmm. And it was a dream space. However, they had 2 offices in there. And if you can imagine, having toddlers running around with no rules came quite interfering, noisy. And now this year, they gave us our own barn called, I think I just put it as the barn, which is equally as perfect. So each year looks a little bit different. However, I do have a meeting with them coming up where we're looking to have a more formal arrangement for them to help keep us moving towards what our vision is having a full-time outdoor classroom at their campus, because it's just a space that is so unique, and there's nothing else like it in Rhode Island.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And you're just, your journey continues. It's incredible. So now we're at Glen Park, the Picnic Grove. Again, this is a completely different vibe.
You're in a park. I know. It's so serendipitous too, because right now I just rented my first office space for the organization as a stepping stone and a place for me to really stay focused on the mission of Ocean State Kids. And the office is on what is called the Glen Complex. It's associated with Glen Park, but it's this old historical building that they've turned into some commercial space. And it was funny because when I came to see it, I asked, who else is in the building here? Because it's small. There's only four other offices. And the realtor was like, oh, there's Wendy downstairs from Parks and Rec. And I was like, I'll take it. I'll take it. I don't care how much it is. I'll take it. Because my mind, I'm like, she's my golden gate to the Glen. Yeah. And I will become her best friend by baking her cookies. I'll make her gifts. I will stay out of her way. That's what she prefers.
So funny.
But it's very serendipitous because the Glen was such a beautiful space for us because, again, the infrastructure there is so helpful. They have this amazing big picnic grove. They have trails down to the beach. So you have forest and the beach. They have bathrooms. They have a pergola and a lot of history. So we did a summer here and it was the most fun the kids have had in a long time. It was really, really great.
We
set up that ninja gym. We did so many fun activities there. We set up a slip and slide down one of the big hills. It was wild.
Wow.
Yes.
And your next one is Colt State Park.
So Colt State Park is actually a group called East Bay Buds. And this one is run by Hannah, also a student of the outdoor teacher course, who you know, and this was another exceptional experience. Hannah was quite nervous about this location because it is a public park, but we were able to secure a location that was really tucked away and very private. And look at the tree. There were so many beautiful trees that it almost felt like a jungle gym. The kids loved being there. The hide and seek was incredible. They did some really beautiful story time, circle times there. The sunlight, it was close to the water. There was a lot of different coastal Rhode Island aspects of this place that made it
just a
really great experience for everyone. They had tons of picnic tables. The parking was great. And Colt State Park was definitely an ideal location, especially for Hannah's first experience hosting a group.
Yeah. And a big shout out to Hannah because she is also a parent. Also joined us in the Circle membership community and is also going through the Outdoor Classrooms Teacher Certification Program. And it's just, I love having more than one person joining us for these experiences on our end. And it's just really, I just want to, if she's listening, huge, huge shout out. It's just really fun for me to then also see the spaces that all your parents are working in.
So yeah, I couldn't be more proud of Hannah. She's like one of our newest group leaders, latest group leaders to join as a volunteer. And her ability to show up and create these spaces while being a mother is profoundly impressive. Mm-hmm. Every single morning has so much thought. She puts a lot of her creativity and energy into everything and is still in this like really great, happy mood all the time.
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean,
fabulous.
And the beauty of Rhode Island is that you, again, like you said earlier, you have access to the woods, but you also have access to these incredible beaches.
So Sandy Point Beach, which we're looking at now, is actually the beach that you can access by trail through the Glen. Mm. So on the picture on the top left there, you'll see the trees tucked in the corner. That is where a trail will take you. And there's also a river that meets the ocean.
Mm.
So it is wild. During low tide, the kids can play in the river that goes into the ocean. The water's typically warmer. And it feels like another country almost. It feels like you're just somewhere else. But Sandy Point Beach is another ideal location because the water is very shallow.
Mm.
And families feel very safe to gather there and kind of have the chaos happening, knowing that water safety, of course, is always an issue, but we always try to plan to go around low tide. So even if they walk out 10, 15, 20 feet, it's still only up to their waist.
Yeah. So in this interview, we haven't necessarily been talking specifically about the different activities, because I feel like each picture has 1,000 words. So you can be looking at all the different things. Some of the things that are happening here is you have a guitar, someone that's playing the guitar, and all these incredible parents. I just feel if I was to rewind my journey as a young parent and finding somewhat a program like yours it would be just such a godsend in a sense that you really, the variety, the ability to have the option of actually leading groups. So you're kind of stretching yourself as a parent. I mean, there's so many different layers and aspects of your program that are so well thought through. And so is the next slide here, is this the barn that you were talking, is this a different barn?
This is a different barn. I don't know. You see a trend here. So another group leader, her name's Sarah Clark. She came to me, approached me at a fundraiser that I was hosting 2 summers ago at Sandy Point. She introduced herself and she said, I think I want to start a group and support Ocean State Kids' mission. And she had a background in early child development, and she had 2 children of her own that she was looking to create a better kind of connection with the outdoors and giving them more opportunity to just have another resource. So she was able to find this location called The Barn, which is owned by the South Kingston Land Trust. This place is unoccupied,
really?
Only being used as, you know, they have a few small offices in there that they use. And it's an event space that's underutilized. And she shared some pictures with me. You'll see on the top right, that's the indoor space. It's completely empty. It's like this big wooden ballroom.
Oh,
and it had all of this green space, again, connected to trails with a huge lawn. And I told her, don't even ask questions. Just get a lease for as long as you can and stay there as long as you can and become their best friends and make it happen. Because in my mind, when a space isn't unoccupied like this, there's no better tenant than child education. So we have been there for almost a year, and they continue to allow us to let us come back because we're low maintenance and we're always outside.
Yeah.
And the kids love being there. The dirt pile in the backyard is one of the biggest perks there. It's always what you see there. And the indoor space is a great retreat for very harsh climates. We never have to cancel. It's great.
Oh, my goodness. It just gets better and better. This journey, this tour.
Oh, Barbara. Barbara. We'll have to give Barbara a shout out. Barbara. Okay. So this place has a lot of back history, too.
So this is a private residence.
This is a private home owned by Barbara Donahue. And when I moved home, I spent some time in New York City finding myself. And my mother had called me and she said, I'm going to Germany for the summer. Do you want to come to Rhode Island for the summer and rent my apartment so I don't lose it? I'm like, Mom, I'm living in New York City here. Like, I can't afford anything, let alone another apartment. She's like, Mariel, it's $300 a month. And at the time, I was traveling back to Rhode Island almost weekend because I was desperate for the ocean. So I agreed. So I stayed in that red house there, in the little doors on the right. That was a little apartment. And I stayed there for a summer. And it was the best summer ever. She had a pool. Barbara's this wildly eclectic artist. Her primary focus is belly dancing. She's also an exceptional painter. She painted some great stuff of Otto. And she has always been so supportive of Ocean State Kids. You should do something here. Invite the kids over. And I always kind of brushed it off. Not out of because I didn't want to, but I just didn't see the connection. It was very early on. So then finally I saw Barbara again. She's like, Mariel, bring Otto over. I have a painting for you. So I picked up the painting and then she starts showing me her backyard, which I hadn't been to since I lived there. And she had all these wild structures, like the little dollhouse, the treehouse. She had these different climbing structures that she had originally built for her goats, which had the playhouse where the playhouse was for her grandchildren. But the structures that you see, the treehouse and this little girl looking down the tube, were primarily for her goats to climb.
So funny.
And they had vacated the property, so she kept them there for her kid, her grandkids. She cleaned them up, made them more dynamic. But her grandkids only visit here and there throughout the year. And I was like, Barbara, what is this? This is amazing. And she's like, I've been trying to invite you over here for close to a year. And that's when I felt really stupid. So our little Compton group, led by Marlin, the little Compton Explorers, were the first group to come here because that was this Barbara lived in their community. And let me tell you, it was the most magical day. We set up that picnic table on the left there. We set up a activity where kids could squish, bang, and hammer fruit or flowers into fabric. And it became a very special place for a lot of the kids because I think Barbara has such a big imagination that it kind of leaked through into all these structures she was building. The dollhouse had all these tiny little trinkets inside. And she spent a lot of time making this for her grandkids. And I had to take advantage of it because for me.
How lucky for both of you, you know?
I know.
It just feels like each of these experiences has this incredible story that goes with it. And just by meeting you when our paths crossed, it just, everything that you do, everything sort of very much feels serendipitous.
It does. Like, it's weird.
Doesn't it, though?
Isn't it weird? Yeah. Yes,
it's like, I'm supposed to be in this house. And the beach and this and every single place where you have made a connection to. I mean, just finding these barns that aren't being used. And you're also really showcasing. I mean, it makes me want to move to Rhode Island.
It makes me want to be a kid again. And it really does. Ocean State Kids has been so many of these mini pivotal moments where I ask myself, who's watching? Or like, who's looking over me?
Yeah.
Or who has put this in my path? Because it definitely feels intentional and that I'm supposed to be doing this.
Yeah.
And it's
very
amazing.
Much so. Very.
It's never. I mean, it's never
ever since
felt...
I met you. I mean, even you signing up for the Circle membership and coming on board with the everything. It just was like, here we go, on for the ride.
Oh my God, so now we're looking.
Now we're looking at Sweet Berry Farm and another beautiful space.
Oh yes, we are walking down memory lane.
Look at this. Inside of this barn.
I know. That was
with the wooden floors.
It's a wild day.
Oh my goodness, it's beautiful.
Sweetberry Farm is a very unique farmer's market, but they also have an operating farm for apples, pumpkins, Christmas trees, flowers. They do the whole shebang there. I approached Sweetberry Farm. We're in our second year there, so 2 years ago. Because they are actually very close to the bird sanctuary. And they have the infrastructure. So I reached out to the woman who owned Sweetberry Farm at the time. They've since sold to a new owner. And I sat with her and I'm, you know, overselling Ocean State Kids. And she's like, Meryl, just do what you want. Just do what you want. And I'm like, oh, my people have arrived. Because there's nothing more that I want to hear. Just do what you want. I'm like, okay. So they allowed us to really set up wherever we wanted. We kind of tucked ourselves in the back fields away from any of the parking. They have this beautiful indoor barn space that you see on the lower left where we invited a musician to come perform. And there we opened that up to the entire organization and the place was packed. And let me tell you, on the other side of this dining area was like the supermarket. So, like, the public is, like, coming in to buy their groceries, and there's a rock show happening right in this other big area. So much fun. And then they also have these huge tractors that they let the kids play on. And then they have the flower fields in the back that they allow us to, you know, terrorize at the end of the season or during the shoulder season where, like, trampling is not a big deal.
Yeah.
the owners sold the property. The new owners came on and they started to put in these new little structures, which is that playhouse on the top right. And I'm like, are you kidding? Like, they put in this shed, which is essentially a play space for kids. They put in all these different toys so kids can make believe, play that they're at the farmer's market, selling vegetables, selling goods. They also put in a chicken coop. They put in like some outdoor bathrooms. So Sweet Berry Farm has become also one of our favorite places.
Oh, how could you? I mean, there's just so many. I'm probably going to say this wrong. Sakana Yacht Club is another one.
You did it. You did it.
I did it. It just, again, access to
look at that view. Look at that view of all the boats.
It looks like, I mean, all of these photos look like they're right out of a magazine.
Well, you know, I have the marketing background for it. Like, I know. And the thing is I had, it was either myself or some of my friends that volunteered to capture. But for me, at first, I was like, I want to make sure I remember all of this, that I can have material to show Otto and the families can have to show their kids when they're older to see, like, look what we did together.
Yeah.
But also, I just knew that it was important to document everything. And it wasn't until I took the outdoor classroom or started that class where I literally started to organize them and archive it and see the continued value of these imagery, of all of this imagery.
Yeah. Can you take a moment and share what your experience has been thus far in our outdoor teaching boot camp? Is your first?
I can't say enough. It's been literally a blessing when it comes to transitioning into this next year of growth. Because what it has allowed me to do was to like restart my engines. Because sometimes I do get like a little complacent. I'm like, everything's going good. You know, there's nothing more to do. But with the outdoor classroom, it kind of reignited some things that are valuable and that I should revisit or reorganize or find a new way to present. So even in this task here, for example, providing you with the sites or imagery, going through this task, I was able to organize all of the sites and not only create it for this podcast, but it allowed me to organize everything for our annual report that's due to show kind of where we've been and the impact we've had on the community. Even the forecast framework that I put together for what we do to prepare for the winter months. In my mind, I know that's important, but I only assume everyone else knows that stuff.
Right.
So being able to have that challenge of organizing and presenting some type of tangible material for the families, that was a huge benefit that I probably wouldn't have done unless you told me to. No, I know it's not a requirement, but I felt very motivated because it was a part of the course to get it done and share it with everyone. So those are just two examples. So I have to say the course has been extremely helpful for the accountability of creating resources and tools to help continue to grow Ocean State Kids into the new year.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And as you've been talking, there's just more and more of these beautiful, beautiful sites. It's mind-boggling. And to set these sites up, to make these connections with community, it's the epitome of working with community and creating such a program where you're supporting not only parents, but you're also supporting your community. You're advocating for nature-based education. I mean, it's all, you have the recipe for taking your Ocean State Kids to the next level. I mean, it's just look at it all.
It goes on and on. It's wild to me. And then, like, as you go through the slides, I'm like, wait, go back. I have a story. Wait, go back. I have a story. Wait, go back. I have a story. And to just preface on what Ocean State Kids has done for the community is something that I'm also very proud of, because as I move through our annual report, about a third of our budget goes back into the community.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I don't want to say it's an expense, because this doesn't feel like an expense. You know, it's something that I'm very proud to do, and to offer financial support back into the community in ways that I wasn't expecting.
And after like going through the budget for the whole year, I'm like, oh, wow, we were really able to support the community that gives to us. You know, it feels really good to be able to do that.
Yeah, it's incredible. And to do that is to really is so important. And you, the way that you're doing it and the way that you are constantly going back and reorganizing, and it's like, you know, cleaning out a closet. You've sort of created these great things, and it's like, okay, let's go back. And it just feels like since I've known you, you've just through the boot camp, every single assignment, you've just taken it five steps further and saying, you know, how can I apply this and make Ocean State Kids better? And how can that be better? So it's reaching more kids, it's reaching more families, and you've done it. I mean, you are doing it. And what is so beautiful is that you just want to get better and better and better. I mean, we could talk for days and days. So we are going to have
That's why I asked you, how much time do we have? Because each location I could talk about for an hour.
Right, right. So we are going to have you back.
Is our time up together?
Almost time up.
No.
Time up. But I want to...
I feel like we just scratched the surface.
I know.
Me, Victoria. I need to talk about this stuff. It's very therapeutic.
Well, you are definitely going to have to come back because there's so much. Just even looking at these different, I mean, just even stories that you share in our Circle membership community, you know, where you're taking kids to different places that are indoors during the winter months. So we could go on and on and on.
Maybe the next time we speak, like, you have to be more specific. Because when we're talking about the sites, I was like, I just accounted for all the locations. It's 73.
73. It's amazing. But in closing, if you were to leave one seed of inspiration for either a parent or a teacher or an educator or a leader in the field, what do you think that would be? And you might have made
I already know.
Oh, you already know. See, this
I already
is
know.
What you think.
I already know. Okay, so it was like a seed of inspiration that my mother gave me. It's always stuck with me, and it's very simple and very silly, and it's fake it until you make it. And it can be applied in so many ways because a lot of us have fear that we can't do something because we don't know how. But if you can show up and fake it and enjoy the ride of that, enjoy the ride of faking it, not knowing and just doing your best, that when you make it, that wild ride is worth it. And what comes before you is like the truth. It's not fake anymore. It feels good. You worked hard to get there. And that's very much what I've been doing with Ocean State Kids. You know, I faked it with the Instagram. I was like, yep, I'm just doing it. You know, I faked it all through the learning process, through all the trial and error. And now, 3 years later, I feel like I've really made it happen. And I feel the truth behind all of it. And I feel like Ocean State Kids has become my purpose and my truth and my calling and my passion. And I couldn't be more proud of myself for spending all of that time in not really knowing what I was doing.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's a beautiful, beautiful seed of inspiration because it's so true. It's just, and what sometimes I like the image of that first domino and that sort of fake it till you make it might be that first domino. Just do something, you know,
like
some sort of action.
It can apply in so much as a parent. A lot of us fear to take full responsibility for our child's education because we might not be doing enough. Or if you're an educator, you're like scared to flip the switch and do something against the grain because you don't know how it will be perceived. It's like, you just gotta fake it and do what feels right in your heart and your gut. And if you continue to be true to yourself, it'll all play out.
Yeah.
Better than you expected. I mean, look.
Look at what you've done. I mean, look at what you've done to all these different places.
Yeah, this is I only gave you a little fraction of it because I started to feel a little guilty. She's not going to be able to sleep tonight.
So it goes on and on and on.
Yeah, look at these kids throwing machetes, those giant trolls.
I just love it. They do, and it's just, this is childhood. This is what childhood should be. It's just happy.
It's very diverse, happy, adventurous. There's always something new. And a lot of the parents that participate in their groups wouldn't have gone to any of these places if they weren't prompted to.
Yeah. And finding those golden nuggets in your community, I think it's beautiful.
Like, how many parents get to say, like, oh, my kids went to Del Pont Choice Acres today and threw machetes? Not often.
So as we close, is there any final thought that you'd like to share with our community before we sign off? I want to also thank you for being a Circle member and joining us on that journey as well. It's just, I know that we will continue on with our conversations there. Any other thoughts that you would like to share before we sign off?
I think I would like to say to anybody listening is that I have spent the last couple of years trying to build my community with families. And now I'm kind of in this point where I really want to start connecting with other people that are running a similar show, because I find that I want to keep reaching upwards and keep finding other people that are organizing similar programs so I can learn more and expand more and pick the brains of other people doing it better. Because I always want to reach for, I don't want to be the smartest person in the room. I want to be always at the bottom, reaching up and just seeing what else I need to do to make this the best possible experience for my community. So that's why the Outdoor Classroom and the Circle membership is my next step, of just reaching more professional people that are equally as passionate, but know more. I want to know more.
I love that. I don't want to be the smartest person in the room.
No, I never
do. Sometimes I think that people think that the Circle membership is just for those quote unquote beginners, people that are just starting out. And, you know, we have folks that are teachers and educators that are in a PhD program. I mean, we have the whole spectrum.
I love the feeling of being intimidated. I want to I don't want to be the smartest person in the room. Like, where are those affluent, well-spoken outdoor teachers? Bring them to me. I want to know. Tell me what I'm doing wrong.
Oh, my goodness.
Take responsibility for it.
I could talk to you all day long. Oh, my goodness. So without further ado, thank you so much. And we will definitely have you back on and we'll zero in on a couple of these.
Yeah. Programs. Make a specific, like something about spiders, 73 places. Or
we had to do the global picture first, but thank you so much.
Yes. Thank you for having me and talking to me about this stuff. I love it so much.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode. If you're ready to take the next step and dive deeper into our community, here's how you can get involved. First, you can join our one-hour workshops. These happen every month with fresh and exciting new topics each time. It's a great way to get a taste for what we offer. If you enjoy the workshops, you can become part of our Circle membership community. And this will give you access to not only all the new workshops that happen every month, but it will also give you access to our entire workshop library, which is growing. It will also give you access to our monthly roundtable discussions. And also, as a member, you receive exclusive discounts on all our programs. It's wonderful, wonderful family. The final step, if you would like to dig deeper into our community, is to join our Outdoor Classrooms Teacher Certification Program. This program is for those educators who are eager to dig even deeper into our programming, and it's the perfect next step. If you want to learn more about each of these programs, or you're not sure where you need to start, or any questions that you might have, schedule a one-on-one discovery call with me, Victoria Hackett. I will put all of that information in the show notes. You can also go to our website at www.outdoor-classrooms.com to learn more information. We can't wait to welcome you into our community. Until next time,